and for everybody for being here.
Okay, thank you so much, Debbie. Really appreciate it. Let me just begin by welcoming Ellie back. And it's only been a week, but, you know, mazel tov on Sarah's marriage to Shmuel, and so much nachas to you and to Miriam and to the entire family, of course. It's great to be together with everybody. Oh, yeah, of course, you're very welcome. I want to just sort of lay out a disclaimer for next week, is that I've said this in the past, and I stand by it, that it's really impossible to understand the Chayit HaMeraglim in isolation. It's part of a trajectory that begins in the second half of Baal Oscha, after the Vayhi Bin So Aaron, which, you know, Chazal, in their very dramatic way, say 85, you know, Osios, it constitutes its own Sefer. It's a linchpin, it's a pivot point in all of Sefer Bamidbar. So I'm going to be leaving that discussion for next week to try to understand, you know, the Meraglim in light of that. And to focus exclusively on the beginning of Baal Oscha, which is all about what enabled the Jewish people to have a chance of entering Eretz Yisrael. The beginning, which will be the central focus of our discussion, of course, has to do with the menorah and the symbolism of the menorah, just to appreciate, you know, how dramatic this is in terms of the presentation of the Torah, right? The menorah is dealt with, as you'd expect, in Parshas Truma. It's alluded to at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh in the context of the Mizbeach HaKetores, which is localized, you know, right around the Aron and the Shulchan and the menorah. Again, in Parshas Emor, which is itself a very fascinating point, but to have the menorah, like, you know, appear as if out of nowhere, right, that's, you know, what led to Chazal's, you know, great mystery, the Chalisha Sadas of Aaron, which we'll talk about at some length. But before we get into those details, just to be able to appreciate that what, you know, drove that entire line of inquiry was an understanding that it's like, you know, out of nowhere, quite literally. You know, you have a narrative, which is a narrative of great momentum, starting with the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar and the Pekudim and the Pekudei Levi, and everything fits into that framework, you know, until the Chanukah Samizbeach, which we just finished at the end of Parshas Naso, and then Baal Oscha, and it's like, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and then, you know, we continue on with the narrative of Kachas HaLevim, via Tiharta Osam, and the Korban Pesach, and Pesach Sheni, and the march of the Jewish people. So the, you know, the point, I don't think, can be overstated, the extent to which the menorah is really out of place, and yet it's meant to sort of frame the entry of the Jewish people into the land of Israel. And in that respect, you know, it becomes a very important symbol in its own right. So with that, I wanted to begin with the Haftarah. The Haftarah we read on Chanukah every year, and it's from the Navi Zechariah. And it makes a point which I think really is the frame, the proper frame, to understand, you know, what it's doing at the beginning of Parshas Baal Oscha. Let me just share my screen. Okay. Good. Hopefully people can see it. So Zechariah is commenting that he's having trouble understanding what the Kadosh Baruch Hu's message is to him, which he's then, of course, meant to convey to the Klal Yisrael. Vayomer elai ma ata roev, omar, ra'isi v'nei menoras zahav kula, v'gulal rosha, there's this bowl above it, v'shiva nerosa ala, shiva v'shiva mutzakos, l'nerosa asher al rosha, v'shnaim zeisim aleha, echan mimin ha'gula, v'echad al smola, the image of the olive branch, right? V'hinei alei zayis taraf b'fiha, very important. Va'an va'umar la'malach adover b'ilemor ma'ela adoni. So, you know, ela, meaning the menorah, plus the alei zayis, and etc. Va'yana malach adover b'vayomer lai halo yadata ma'hema ela, like, you're supposed to know. Va'yomer lo adoni, so he says, I really don't know. This is not like, you know, false modesty over here, if I would tell you, but I don't know. So Vayan Vayomer Lai Lemor, Zedra Adonai El Zerubav El Lemor Lo Bechayo Velo Bechoach Kim Beruchi Amar Adonai Tzvaos Miatahar Gadol Yivnei Zerubav El Mishor Veotzias HaEven HaRosha Tishuos Chayin Chayin La. So this is the Nevuah of Shivat Zion, which will be led, you know, by a scion of the Beis David. He doesn't have the status of a melech. The Rishonim talk about that. The period of Bayis Sheni was not a tkufa that was nitan for Malchus. The Ran, in a very important essay, one of the drashos, talks about Bayis Sheni being a time when we were essentially a vassal state. But Zerubbabel is, you know, the titular political leader. And this is the message, Zechariah, that I want you to give Zerubbabel. Lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi amar Hashem tzevakos. That you're coming back to Eretz Yisrael, so you should understand very well that this is not meant to be about military conquest. This is not about imperialism. Lo v'chayil, v'lo v'choach, right? Clearly a reference to what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to emphasize, of kochi, v'otzem yadi, asali es achayil azeh, right? It's not that. Ki im beruchi amar Hashem tzvakos. That's the image of the menorah. And indeed, this has halachic implications. Just like to discuss that, and then to talk about how, you know, that frames the beginning of Baloscha, which was meant to be, right, the original march into Eretz Yisrael. Right here, we're talking about the second iteration, what we call the Kiddush Hashnia. But you know, Baloscha was meant to be Nosim Anachnu El Hamakom Asher Amar Hashem Oso Atein Lachem, as Moshe says to Yisrael in this week's parsha. The Jewish people were on the march, Vahibin So Aron, so it was framed in terms of the menorah. So what is that image, right? Ma'ela Adoni, and it's so striking in the Navi. If we learn Tanakh, you know, you it's like Zechariah, you really should know. I'll tell you, but you really should know. You should be able to understand what this message is. And the message is it's not about military conquest. It's about the Ruach Hashem. Kim beruchi amar Hashem tzevakos. Now we know that al pi halacha, this has great consequence. There's an issue that we've discussed in the past, but really is worth reiterating at this point in time, that of the different periods in Jewish history when we invested the land of Israel with Kedusha. So we have two basic typologies. The Kedusha Rishona, which was predicated on an idea called the Kibush Rabim, conquest. And that sanctity, because it is achieved by conquest, is vulnerable to unraveling through conquest. That is to say, that once the Jewish people were conquered first by Sancheriv in the north, and then Malchus Yehuda by, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, through his, you know, his henchman Nebuzaradan, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that Kedusha was substantively and materially eviscerated. The only remaining Kedusha, interestingly, was in Yerushalayim. The Kedusha Sashchina, the Rambam says, Eina B'teila Leolam. But basically, Kedusha by conquest will always remain vulnerable to dissipation by conquest. And that is a halachic reality, and that is a halachic reality that, in my view, is very deeply rooted in historical reality. That which is achieved by conquest is undone by conquest. The entire story of human anthropology is a story of successive conquest. You know, and you have the Babylonians, and you have the Persians, and you have the Greeks, and you have the Romans, right? And you know, the last number of millennia have featured, you know, no shortage of the rise and fall of empire on the basis of Chayil v'Choach. The second investiture, the Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha that Zerubbabel was supposed to be a part of, and it's not an accident that he's the one who's given this message, right? We often refer to this as Kedushas Ezra, not accidentally, because he was the spiritual leader. Zerubbabel was being told, in essence, to stand down. Lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi amar Hashem tzvakos. We're not just going to try to conquer Israel again. First of all, we wouldn't have been able to. We had no army, you know, that we could conquer it with. We went at the pleasure of Koresh, as you remember, Mi Hashem, Mi Vachem Hashem Elokav Yimo Vayal, the concluding, you know, pasuk in Tanakh, right? You have this idea that the Jewish people are allowed to go back because Koresh will allow them to go back. So it's not about the military conquest. It's about fealty to the Torah. Lo v'chayo v'lo v'choach kim beruchi amar Hashem Tzvakos. And that Kedusha, even though, of course, the Jewish people, you know, were subsequently exiled from the land, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and, you know, our confrontation with Edom, with Rome, right, that second Kedusha was never unraveled. It never dissipated. Because it's what we call Kedusha, Kedusha Shnia, al yedei, not kibush, not through conquest, but chazaka, what I like to call evidence of the, you know, unbreakable bond between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. That sanctity, you know, never dissipates. That's the sanctity that we have today. And there are, you know, many, many, many places in the Gemara where that's discussed, where the Gemara says, oh, you know, the places that the Ole Bavel Hechaziku, those are the places that were established with Kedusha. And there were some places that they deliberately did not, you know, come to because they didn't want it to have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael for purposes of supporting poor people during Shemitah and other considerations as well. So here, I think the Chiddush is as follows. Parshas Baloscha, before the Kibush Rabim, so we're given the image of the menorah. And it's exactly that point that Zechariah was meant to reiterate in his generation. And it makes one contemplate very, very deeply, and we'll speak about this at some length now, to what extent was the original vision, remember this is prior to the Chedam Raglim, also one of Lo V'chayo V'lo V'choach Kim Beruchi. And my thesis today is that was absolutely the case. That was always meant to be. That the Kedusha that was meant to be invested into Eretz Yisrael initially was the Kedusha of Lo V'chayo V'lo V'choach Kim Beruchi. Now there's different views, admittedly, in the Rishonim, what would have happened. You know, had Moshe Rabbeinu led Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, the Rav used to like to talk about that. You know, that would have been inviolate. You know, Mashiach would have come. The Beis HaMikdash would have been built. Right? The Sforno says explicitly, you know, many, 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 many occasions that there would have never been a war. The other nations would simply have fled. Namogu kol yoshvei Kenan. There's a lot of evidence for that. But the point is, I'd like to suggest, even if there had been a war, that wouldn't have been the basis of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It would have been the basis, Ki im beruchi, the Jewish people's commitment to Torah, that would have been the ultimate message. And of course, that's where the menorah comes in. And what I'd like to try to demonstrate is just how deeply the menorah, how singularly, profoundly, the menorah conveys that message of ki im beruchi. Again, you know, Zechariah was chastised a little bit by the Malach for not appreciating, how do you not know, Halo yadata mahema ila. How do you not know what the menorah is meant to represent? I sort of feel badly for him. But the point is, we should really know and understand what the menorah is meant to represent. So with that, let's try to, you know, spend the next 40 minutes or so delving into the meaning of the menorah, the integrity, the miksha of the menorah, and how important that is, which is, there's such a critical detail. We'll see in just a moment. The Ramban says the critical detail, and how this gives us like a, you know, an insight into what the substance, the true meaning of Ki'im Beruchi, really is all about. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen again. Okay, here we go. Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe l'amor, daber al Aaron v'amarti lav v'aloscha es haneros amul pnei haminorah yoiru Shivas Haneros. Vayas ken Aaron al mul pnei haminorah he'ala nerosah, kasher tziva Adonai es Moshe, v'zeh ma'aseh haminorah miksha zahav, ad yirecha ad pircha mikshahi, kamareh asher hera Adonai es Moshe ken asa es haminorah. So we have here a great emphasis on the persona of Aaron HaKohen. Please bear that in mind. Lo v'chayo v'lo v'choach kim beruchi. Aaron has a special connection to that idea, as we know. And the idea of miksha, the Torah emphasizes repeatedly that the menorah is miksha, it's fully integrated. The entire section, in some sense, is a commentary about that. El mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru shivas ha-neros, that the lights of the menorah are directed internally, right? El mul pnei ha-menorah ha'ela neroseha. Again, it wasn't facing outward like a regular, you know, candelabra, but directed inwards. Vizem ha'aseh ha-menorah, there's the word miksha zahav, and then again, mikshahi, kamara sherhera shemes moshe. So the Sforno says that this detail of miksha is the defining detail. He thinks that it's actually a symbol of the unity of Klal Yisrael. I just wanted to read this because I think it can give us a roadmap for some of the troubles that we have today. Kol Hashiva Ya'iru V'Yashpiu Or Elyon LiYisrael Sheyoru Hayos No Or HaYamanim V'Or HaSmolim V'Chuvan Uponel Or HaKonam Tzayisho Yikar Minora V'Sheken Roi Shchunas HaMiminim HaOskim B'Chaya Olam Hamasmiilim haoskim bechaya shah haozrim limiminim kamram il male alilo miskaimi iskalia tielahafik ratson el isbarach baofen shiutzag michuvana bekulam yromush moyachtav kmoshi kibulalem kashorheid bamro bayadu chalam yachtav yomokoshri bereshem nasa. So the Sforno says you have, right, three branches on the right, three branches on the left. Three branches on the right are symbolic of those who learn Torah. Three branches on the left are those who support them. They're oskin b'chayisha, but with the explicit goal of, you know, imen kemach in Torah. And together, and only together, are you able to sustain, you know, the vision that God has for the Jewish people. Only when the Jewish people work together, those, you know, who are involved in study, and those who are involved in material support, you know, we would call today in, you know, more fancy terminology, you know, sustaining the economy, you know, keeping society running, what we like to call yeshuvo shalolam concerns. So, you know, v'yiromu ha-shmo yachtav k'mo shekibu aleihem kasher heyid kol asher diber Hashem na'ase kilomar ben kulanu nashlim kavanaso. Fascinating. The menorah is a symbol for the Jewish people. I've had in mind, I haven't really found the right opportunity, you know, with all of the division, Litzarenu, Ludavo, Nafshenu, and Eretz Yisrael, you know, they did choose the menorah as a national symbol. I was going to try to, you know, contact somebody about the meaning of this Sforno, saying, you know, actually, you know, the menorah is meant to symbolize the miksha is really Jewish unity. We can find a way, those who learn and those, you know, who advance the general culture and the economy. They're actually really meant to work together and only together. If anybody has any suggestions, you can let me know offline, you know, who I should be writing to about these things. You know, I think it's an important idea. The Netziv, though, is really going to be my point of departure. The Netziv, and sometimes with these passages, I say with a very loving smile, sometimes it tells you a little bit more about the Netziv than it does about the Psukim. I mean that lovingly. But for the Netziv, a lot of things were about learning Torah. What can I say? This is one of those. But here I think it's really the key. B'zeh ma'aseh k'mo she'izhar Kadosh Baruch Hu al ha'aras ha'neiros shu mechuvanim davka lifnei ha'menorah l'rameh she'tiyah ha'aras ha'chachamos l'havin l'haskil b'hema chachmas ha'torah kach ma'aseh ha'menorah haya miksha achas lamdenu d'cho ha'chachmos Mimikar haTorah chutzvu. Okay, alachatzov is to quarry out or to sculpt. So the Netziv has a fascinating comment about, you know, all knowledge in the world, that all knowledge of the world is miksha. It all emerges organically from the Torah, right? And it all leads us back to the Torah. Ha'aras hachachmos lahavin lahaskiel bohema chachmas haTorah. There's a comment of the Gaon that this reminds me of, a famous comment of the Gaon that, you know, a person, you know, is missing some piece of generic wisdom. It's the deficiency is multiplied many times over in Torah. In other words, that all wisdom is integrated. And if a person somehow doesn't understand something, you know, on its face and whatever it is, physics or mathematics, right, that deficiency will be laid bare in Torah. So what the Netziv is saying, something is really, really, really striking. The Netziv, people don't necessarily realize this. The Netziv assigned great value for a very particular reason, as I'll explain, to Chachmas HaOlam. wasn't on the official curriculum in Volozhin, and he closed Volozhin rather than, you know, introduce it at the behest of the Tsar. But the point is that the Netziv understood that all Chachmas HaOlam was integrated, you know, would bring a person back to Chachmas HaTorah. If you really understood, you know, Chachmas HaTeva, you would come back to, you know, the Borei Chachmas HaTorah. Indeed, that's why, you know, you have this image, Al Mul Pnei Am Nora Ya'iru Shivas HaNeros. I mentioned this in the past, but I highly recommend, if people can, to read the introduction to the Hamek Davar, where the Netziv writes that he thinks that the highest calling for a Jew is to discover, uncover the Chidushe Torah, the gems of Torah, and the highest calling for a member of the Umos HaOlam is to study nature, to become a scientist, and to uncover God's glory through the universe. That's a fascinating dichotomy. I've said in the past that I don't think we have to assign people necessarily based on, you know, religious affiliation. They're both very high callings in different ways. You know, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, obviously, the hierarchy is clear. But the point is that the Netziv, felt very, very strongly about this and felt that the integration of the menorah, the miksha, had to do with, you know, knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, as opposed to this forno, saying it's about, you know, Klal Yisrael. And I think that's a really important position. It's also interesting, in light of what happened, there's a biography that was written of the Netziv by his nephew, Rabbi Baruch Halevi Epstein, the Mechaber of the Torah Tmima. And, he talks about the interactions between the Netziv and his son, you know, who became known as Rav Meir Bar Ilan, the founder of Bar Ilan University. You know, Berlin became Bar Ilan, and how encouraging and really adamant the Netziv was about his son's general education. Obviously, Torah was primary; that's axiomatic. The Bar Ilan University, in many ways, was born out of this kind of an idea. Again, not at the behest of the Tsar. He wasn't willing to do that. And I think that was the correct move. You don't yield to that kind of pressure. But internally, the idea that you could have, an institution rooted in Torah values that, seeks to expand, you know, the Ha'aras Chachmas HaTorah to the Kenei HaMenorah is, you know, it's what you would expect if you get to know the Netziv a little bit in his way of thinking about things, his integrated, you know, approach. And so that's a point of note as well. Actually, I have never been there myself, but a lot of Mishpach and Eretz Yisrael, and a cousin who just enrolled in Bar Ilan University. And, you know, it's really, you know, we're living these things, and it's good to be mindful of some of their conceptual foundations. And that being said, I'd like to opt for a third approach. They say, the Sforno thinks that the Miksha is about the integration of Klal Yisrael. The Netziv says it's about the integration of all Chachma in the world, which takes us back to Chachma Satorah, it emerges from Chachma Satorah. I'd like to make the case that it has to do with a certain dimension of Torah itself. And that's where I'd like to go with this, especially in light of my earlier remarks, Lo v'chayel, v'lo v'chawach. So there's a difficult Rashi, very, very difficult Rashi. Rashi says, Ba'aloscha, what is this section of the menorah doing here? La'manismacha parashas ha-menorah la'parashas ha-nasiim, l'fiik shara aron chanukas ha-nasiim chal shadaito, right? He experienced the chalisha sadas, shelo haya yimahim ba'chanuka lo hu v'lo shivtel, right? Not him, not his shaven. Amelo Kadosh Baruch Hu Chayecha Shalcha Gidola Mishalahem Atamadlik Umeitevis Haneros. Don't feel so badly. You weren't included in the Chanukas Hamizbeach. You know, you have the mitzvah of Hadlakas or Hatavas Haneros, you know, if you prefer. And that is, you know, in every sense, you know, Omer Darsheni. Like, you know, why was Aaron feeling so badly? Number one. Number two, what's the Nechama? And we'll get to the Ramban in a second. As far as the point that the menorah is really a representation of Torah, so I just wanted to document things that I think are really very, very strong indications of this idea. Parshas Tetzaveh, when the menorah sort of introduced, not the construction of it, which is back in Truma, but the localization of the Ner Tamid, the menorah is, you know, not mentioned here. So beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, when we're told about the mitzvah of Ha'alas Ner Tamid, we're told that it's done in conjunction with the Aron. Well, you're not going to go into the Kodesh Kodashim because you can't go Lifnai V'Lifnim, it's not Yom Kippur, so you do it just outside. But it seems very clear. The Ner Tamid is about the Aron, Kiner Mitzvah, V'Torah Or, exactly the way that Minhag Yisrael has it today. Where do we put our Ner Tamid? Right in front, you know, of the Aron in our shul. Okay. It's only in Parshas Emor that the, you know, that the beans are spilled, so to speak. You have the exact same sukkim. And then we're told, Al HaMenorah HaTorah Yarochas HaNeros Lifnei Hashem Tamid. You know, an entire sefer has gone by, you know, before, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu lets us in on the secret, that it's really the menorah, right? Al HaMenorah HaTorah Yarochas HaNeros Lifnei Hashem Tamid. You wouldn't have even known about the existence of the menorah. The Ramban in Parsha Samor writes about that. He says, yeah, if it wasn't for this Parsha, you would think, you know, there doesn't need to be any menorah. Maybe you just, you know, light some candles there, whatever. The Rambam, you know, really emphasizes this point. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira in Perek Gimel, the Rambam writes regarding the Shulchan, this is the eighth source, Shulchan munach orka l'orach habayis v'rochbo l'rochav habayis v'chein sharko l'akelim shir mikdash orka l'orkan habayis v'rochban l'rochav habayis chutz min ha'aron shaya orka l'rochav habayis v'chein neros ha'menorah k'neged rochav habayis ben hatzafon Uvein Hadarom. So all of the Kalim, the Beis HaMikdash, were in an east-west axis, with the exception of two. The Aron and its corollary outside of the Paroches, the Menorah. Those were on the north-south axis. The Raiva disagrees. Says, Zeu machokas tanayim, esed otam b'deinochein, sherei shanino matzah shteineros, mizrachios dolkos, zeu linin mizrach umara, munachem. The Raiva thinks we paskin like the view that the menorah was oriented east-west. But what the Rambam is telling us is, despite that evidence, he thinks the menorah had to be oriented north-south. It couldn't be on a different axis than the Aron. It's a representation of Torah. Lo v'chayil v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi halo yadata mahem ha'ela. Don't you understand that the menorah is the representation of Torah? And the Ramban, in a masterstroke, explains the entire beginning of Baloscha along these lines. So let's take a look at his, you know, again, incredible piece. He quotes Rashi, and he says, I have many, many questions. He says, I don't understand the Nechama. This is the ninth source, right next to the number one. Lo nisparli lama nechama b'hadlaka saneros. There are so many other things that he could tell Aaron. If he wanted to tell him, you know, you shouldn't feel so badly, he could tell him, you have the Ketores, you do the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim, you know, you're the Kohen Gadol. You know, it's a little strange that Aaron should feel so badly. Right? Number two, right, Ramban says, at the very essence of the Schalishas Hadas, it wasn't like Aaron was just like hanging around doing nothing. You know, Aaron was bringing, you know, much greater korbanos. Shehekriv bayamim ahem korbanos harbe kol yimei hamiluim. And if you'll say that, you know, he felt badly because he had to, and they volunteered, so it's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, well, you too can volunteer a korban. He's saying, you like the menorah? Aval inin agada hazo lidrosh remez min parsha. Al Chanukah Shal Neros Shahaisa Bebayasheni Al Yidei Aron Uvanav. Ritzoni lomar chashmonai koin gadol uvanav. Uvulashon azem mitzasiya b'megila sesarim l'rabbeinu nisim shehisker agada azov v'amar ra'isi b'medrash kevan shekrivu shnei masar shvatim v'lo hikriv shevet levi amar lo kadosh baruch l'moshe daber al aron v'amarte lav yesh chanukah acharesh yesh b'hadlakas haneros v'ani yoseb al yisrael al yidei banecha nisim v'tshua v'chanukah shekiri al shemam v'chanukah asbnei chashmonai. So the nechama was Aaron shalcha gedolim bishalahem. This menorah is a reference, it's a remez to something that's not now, that's well off in the future, the chashmonayim and what they stood for. It's a reference to something that transcends anything having to do with Chanukah Samizbeach. Vira isi od bilamdenu, amar lo kadosh baruch l'moshe leichem or la'aron al tisyare, l'gdolam izo satam buchan. Hakorbanos kolzman shebeis hamikdash kayim heinoagin, aval aneros laolam al mul pnei hanor yairu. V'chol abrachos shenasati l'chol levarich es bini einan betelin laolam. Birchas kohanim as well. V'nei davar yadua k'shed beis hamikdash kayim korbanos betelim bnei korbano af aneros betelos. It's not like you're going to have a menorah in the beis hamikdash. Aval ramzo al aneros chanukas chashvonai shino heges af la'achar korban megaluseinu. V'chin birkas kohanim asmucha l'chanukas ha'nisiyim nehoges la'olam, at least in Eretz Yisrael, darshu smuchin l'chanukas ha'nisiyim l'fanel m'l'achara, right before the chanukas ha'nisiyim, we have birkas kohanim. U'v'chvodo shel Aaron shelo nimna imahem. So the Ramban is telling us that what's so significant about the menorah is not the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash per se, but what that menorah represents in terms of the future, erenu v'loata, ashurenu v'lo karov. It has to do with something of a future event involving b'nei Aharon HaKohanim, the Chashmonayim, what they would stand for. And of course, we know very well, that what they stood for, the Chashmonayim, was the idea of the eternality of Torah. The Ramban, in a very famous passage in Parshas Vayechi, refers to them as Chaside Yalyon El Maleihem Nishtachu HaTorah VeHaMitzvos MiYisrael. This is echoed in the Al Hanisim, of course, Zedim Biyad Oskei Sarasecha. The Nechama to Aaron is that if you're feeling a little bit of Chalisha Sadas, not having inaugurated the Mizbeach, then your priorities need to be re-examined. The Mizbeach is important, the Avoda is significant, but Torah transcends all of that. And your descendants, your Shevet, your family, will be involved at the critical moment in ensuring that Torah is preserved in Klal Yisrael. And that ultimately is the source of vitality for the Jewish people, lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi. That same passage, of course, in the Ramban, I actually put it here, interested in seeing it inside, it happens to be the 11th source. This, you know, we've discussed in, you know, Hanukkah times, you know, tragically details that the Chashmonayim betrayed their own message. They went again, tarte mashma, their own best lights. Lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi, they abandoned the Ruach Hashem for political power, and that's why Bava Basra, Gimel Amud Beis, kol man de'amar v'beis chashmonai ka'asina avdahu. They were eradicated because they betrayed the ultimate message that what leads to everlasting Kedusha, the Kedusha Shniyah, which is never batel, lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi, is fealty to Torah. That was the message. Not the avodas hakorbanos, not might, political clout, but the pure Kedusha, reflected by the Neros HaMaracha, by the Neros that are the outer reflection of the light of the Aron of Torah, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah, or HaBragil B'Ner, Havin Le'banim Tamidei Chachamim. And if that's true, there's another dimension of the Ramban's approach, which really, I think, is amplified. The Ramban, I'll just share my screen again. The Ramban wonders, Vayas Kein Aron, this is, if you can see my cursor, I'm not sure if you can, but you can. Lomar Shehu Hayamad Lekosan Kol Hayamim, Ve'aval Bisha Mitzvah Ksheru Bebanav, Kemo Shenemar Yarocho So Aron Uvanav. It's not even clear that it really requires a Kohen, Shitas HaRambam. Hanachos a mitzvah, fine. Aval hayahu mizdares b'mitzvah gedola azos romezes the dvar elyon v'sod nisgav. That Aaron always insisted on doing this mitzvah his entire life. He held on to this message for dear life. That what mattered more than anything else, the Neros HaMaracha, it wasn't qua the avoda, it was nowhere near as important as Ketores, or Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It's a relatively low-level avoda in that way. But it was everything to Aaron because the message that it conveyed was that Aaron's eternal legacy transcended the Beis HaMikdash. Yoru Mishpatach Chali Yaakov Isaras Chali Yisrael, and only then, Yasimu Kitara V'Apecha V'Chali Ol Mizbechecha. First, the Kohanim, Bnei Aaron, are Baalei Hora'ah, their sources of Torah illumination for the Tzibur. That was what Aaron was proudest of. Kisif se kohen yishmeru das, v'Torah yivakshu mipiu, ki malach Hashem tzvakos hu. The Meshech Chachma, it's a fascinating heara about this. With your permission, I'd like to read it. This is the 10th source. Quotes the Gemara Yuma Daf Chav Dalet, which says that Havlaka is not really even an avoda altogether, be acceptable to Zahar. And Tosos Yeshanim there says, well, but the Pasuk says, you know, Daber el Aharon, Hare Aharon Ksiv. Like, you know, what do you mean? This is the Torah saying that Aharon has to be the one to do this. Venira, says Reb Meir Simcha, this is the second line if you have the 10th source. Mishum Tethnani, Mechanchen es Haminora el Benero shel Ben Arbayim. So Rashi says, "Shayir Aaron, Eitzev Shenischanei Chamishkan Al Yidei Nesiim, Amar Shalcha Gdola, V'zel Lichanei Chaminor Pam Arishon, Sival Aaron Lahalo Sulahadlik." It was the first time. Aval Adoros Ksev Yarocho So Aaron, Rak Hasider V'Hatava Lo Hadlaka. It actually didn't have to be the Hadlaka, the lighting. It was just, you know, setting up the menorah, you know, removing the old oil, the new wicks. What looks like a Hechsher mitzvah is actually the Iker mitzvah. Lachain vayas Aaron kasher tiva Hashem shebepam rishon shenitzdave asakein shehidlik aval im hayeladoros halolo noda shasa kasher tiva diomoso vikiem kol yamav hadlaka. So the Meshech Chachma says, yeah, no, that's what the Gemara means, that the hadlaka isn't really the avoda. Vayas kein Aaron is a reference to, you know, the other dimensions, and I find that to be extraordinary, especially in light of the Ramban's analysis. We know, right, you think about the Chashmonaim, anybody would say, like, you know, what was the great thing that they did in the context of the menorah? So, and I guess some people might, you know, talk about the fact that they lit the menorah, but I would say probably most people would focus on the fact that they were able to find, right, the Pach Shemen, and set up the menorah. Then the miracle happened, and, you know, Shmona Yamim. But this is an amazing idea. The Meshech Chachma is saying is, ah, what was really important was that Aaron should be mechanech the menorah, and then from that point on, you know, what Aaron really did was he set it up. He made sure there was oil, he made sure there were wicks, and in that way, like, amazingly, elegantly, the Bnei Banav Shel Aaron, the one that gave him the Nechama, they were literally, like, you know, walking in his footsteps, Sheyamunach Bechosamo Shel Kohen Gadol, as if, you know, their great-great-grandfather, Aaron, was staring at them right in the face. They're looking back at the legacy of their great-grandfather, just as he looked down the generations at their legacy, what they would stand for. The persona of Aaron HaKohen sets the tone for Parshas Baloscha, for Nosim Hanachnu. Aaron represents, of course, Torah, but he also represents, as we well understand it, what Torah ultimately is all about. The Rambam articulates this in multiple places. Darchei HaTorah Rachamim V'chesed V'shalom Ba'olam. Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Derecha Derechei Noam, Lo Nisna Torah Laso Shalom Ba'olam. Aaron's personality was suffused with the message of Shalom. Vayas Kein Aharon Omnul Pnei HaMnora Halo Yadata Mahem Ha'ela Lo V'chayo V'lo V'choach Ki'im Beruchi. It wasn't meant to be about conquest, imperialism, militarism. It was meant to be about ideas, the Ruach Hashem, the ideas that defined Aaron's persona, the ideas that Torah is really all about. And here, I think, we come, you know, back to the notion of miksha. The Ramban is adamant on this point, that the only dimension of the menorah, architecturally, structurally, that's essential is miksha. And in fact, sees that as the primary message of this parsha. The opening section of Baloscha is meant to convey this idea. Zeh ma'aseh ha'menorah, the Ramban says, lirmo shetzarech l'doros shetia miksha, ki hu me'akev ba. All other things about the menorah are negotiable. Its integrated, cohesive, holistic structure is inviolate. L'kach hizker tzchila b'feirush ma'aseh ha'miksha v'zeh ma'aseh ha'menorah miksha v'lo hizker b'ma'aseh shala sheyu ba'kanim v'kavtorim givyim mishukadim. That was all back in Truma. V'hizker zav, that's nice, it's a hider. However, v'hechzer mikshahi lomar shein ma'akev ba ela miksha lo hazahav. V'kol shekein sh'ar yipuyim shaba v'kach amru rabboseinu. What really matters about the menorah is its holism, is its miksha. It can never be just an assemblage of distinctive pieces and parts. It has to be fully integrated. As we saw previously, the Sforno contends that this is a reference to Klal Yisrael. The Netziv understands that this is a reference to all of Chachmas Ha'olam. I'd like to suggest, apropos the Psukim and the Rambam and Beis HaBechira, and the Ramban's statement about what this menorah represents to Aaron, the Banim Chashmonaim, who would stand up for Torah, Zeidim Yaros Kesar Asacha, that would fight the Yevanim and the Misyavnim, those who sought to circumscribe, contextualize Torah, to override it with the siren song of Hellenism, and all that that entailed. The integration of the menorah, the part which really is the ikuva, the miksha, is a commentary on Torah itself. The Torah is holistic. There's a passage in the Yerushalmi, Debbie mentioned Rabbi Tversky 25 years ago, and 24 and 23 and 22 years ago. So Rabbi Tversky used to tell us all the time, about this Yerushalmi. And Shiri would just say this, Yerushalmi, all the time to us, that Divrei Torah aniyim b'mekoman v'ashirim makom acher. Though what makes the study of Torah so challenging, but also so endlessly fascinating and stimulating, is the idea that all of Torah is integrated. Sometimes there's a little bit over here, there's a lot more over there. You have to know where to look to find it. But that's the nature of Torah. That's why, you know, methodologies like Gezeira Shava and Hekesh are valid and legitimate, because there's an assumption that all of Torah is integrated. It's not a human document. Right? People sometimes scoff at these things in a tautological way, because they apply the standards that you might apply to reading a newspaper to the Torah and say, well, you know, what does, you know, section A have to do with section D, right? It's not even the same editor. But we understand that, you know, methodologically, that question is very non-persuasive. In any event, Nosim anachnu el hamakom asher amar Hashem. The Jewish people were being told very clearly, make no mistake about it, you're marching into the land of Israel. Halo yadata mahema ela. You're marching in with the idea of lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach ki'im beruchi, with what the menorah represents. It sets the tone for Parshas Belotzcha, which ought to have been, had it not been for what we're going to talk about next week, the Parsha when we marched into the land of Israel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Like, he told Yisrael, we're going, and we're going right now. So what's going to get us there? An understanding that it's not about militarism. This isn't meant to be a national conquest like, you know, any other national conquest. Conquering land, that would be absurd. It's about the Torah. In fact, when the Jewish people 40 years later finally did cross the Yarden, the first thing to cross the Yarden was the Aron, which was carried by the Kohanim. And if there is an individual who's meant to capture that, it's the Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom himself. It's the persona of Aharon, which leads Parshas Belotzcha. And that's exactly the message so many generations later that Zerubbabel was being given. You're going back, just understand very well, lo v'chayel v'lo v'choach kim beruchi. There's a reason that the Kedusha Rishona failed. And the Kedusha Rishona failed because Kibush Rabim is intrinsically limited. Power, coercion, force is always at some level a b'di'evit. As the Rambam tells us, there is no legitimacy to violence unless you've exhausted opportunities for peace. Torah, as we demonstrated before, and shalom are inextricably linked. Talmidei Chachamim marvim shalom ba'olam. The Darchei HaTorah, Darchei Racham v'chesed shalom, Darchei Darchei Noam, v'chol nesiv osa shalom. Everything about Torah is meant to be integrated, you know, with peace. And that's why, you know, Lasid Lavo, can't get there soon enough, but, you know, we'll wait for his good time. You know, Ein Ben Olam Azeli, Mosa Mashiach, Al Shibud Malchios Bilvad. If you want to know what, you know, that epoch is going to be all about, that epoch which is, you know, maximally conducive to Yediyas Hashem, U'malach L'Aretz, Deyos Hashem, Kamayim Layam Mechasim, the one thing you have to know is exactly this point, right? Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev, Lo Yomadu Od Melchama, that there's not going to be any war. People will realize the folly of this kind of violence. It's simply, at its core, you know, incompatible with the goals of Torah. Well, this is only possible when one's commitment to Torah is miksha. It's commitment to every dimension of it. Commitment to Torah fully and holistically, not just to, you know, the kanim that are most appealing to us, but when we accept it in its miksha state, in its entire state, the way, of course, that, you know, Aaron embodied. Sifsei Kohen Yishmer Udas V'Tor Yivak Shemi Pihu Ki Malach Hashem Tzavakos Hu, then, you know, we can understand, you know, what the aspiration was for Klal Yisrael to go into Eretz Yisrael under the banner Lo V'Chayel V'Lo V'Choach Ki'im Beruchi. You know, one of the challenges that we have today, obviously, is that we're very, very close to events that play themselves out. And that always makes it more challenging to understand ourselves relative to our historical time period. you need distance typically to be able to put things in perspective. But let it be said, I think we're all aware that there was a period of chayil and koach. Lo v'chayil v'lo v'koach, but there was a period, 48, 56, 67, 67 to 70, the war of attrition, 73, right? An entire generation, really two generations, when Eretz Yisrael, the defining, events were these, wars. And here we are, in terms of, we want to talk about, full-scale war, probably not since 1973, but, 82, if you want to count that, but it's many, many decades since then. And the problems are not resolved. And I know that's not a chiddush to anybody here. The problems are ongoing. The future of Shivat Zion, the vital future of Shivat Zion, apparently was not secured on the field of battle. That created the time and the breathing space. We should never, if not for a second, minimize the Mesiris Nefesh of all those who sacrificed so that we could have this opportunity. But that was very much a hechsher in terms of the opportunity that we have now of lo v'chayo v'lo v'choach ki beruchi, to make sure that what this is about ultimately is the Ruach Hashem. If it's not, we're not going to get any closer. I think that much is evident, right? It's not as if, we won the last war and the enemies, just decided, we're willing to live in peace with you now, and we accept, there's a process that's going on. And what's become so evident, I think, to all observers, is that the essential question is not klape chutz, but is klape pnim, is an internal question about what direction we want to take this in. Right? That's really what can tear this asunder. And so, to conclude with an integration of the perspective of the Sforno with the perspective of the Rambam and Ramban, the symbol of the menorah, I think, becomes really, really profoundly important. The unity of Klal Yisrael, as the Sforno said, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shivas HaNiros, where everybody is pulling in the same direction. Those who are Oskin B'Chayi Olam, those who are Oskin B'Chayi Shah, they should appreciate each other and appreciate how each one contributes to the whole. And then, as the Ramban says, this menorah is a reference to the eternality of Torah and the need to project Torah values, even when the Yevanim, the Misyavnim, they're much less popular, and to remain faithful to those values. That will ultimately secure, whether it's in the days of Nosim Anachnu El HaMakom, what was meant to be the first time, whether it's in the days of Zerubbabel, Lo V'chayel V'lo V'choach Kim Beruchi, now we have the third opportunity, obviously not captured in Tanakh, and I think we have to put the menorah, it's almost providential that it became the symbol, but what the menorah really means, at the forefront of that enterprise. The Chayel and the Koach wasn't enough to secure, the Jewish future in Eretz Yisrael. And the only thing will is the Ki'im Beruchi. And in the meantime, instead of being at war with each other, the persona of Aaron looms large, the Oev Shalom and the Rodev Shalom, the idea of reaching out and reaching across, holding the bonds together. And again, as the Rav emphasized time and time again, it wasn't going to be religious coercion that would ultimately get Eretz Yisrael to where it needed to be. We're not going to force people and twist their arms what they can eat and wear and when. Education. The Ruach Hashem, the Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das V'Tor Yivakshu Mipiyu, that ultimately is going to carry the day and get us to where we need to go. We have to have faith in Torah in that respect. If we try to jam it down people's throats, twist their arms, backfire. The persona of Aaron HaKohen in this respect is the ultimate model. Oev Esabrios, Umekarvan LaTorah. He never gave Sichos Musar. He never chastised, you know, people who didn't share the same lifestyle or assumptions that he did. He lived his life with dignity and integrity and made people want to be closer to Torah. And that becomes, I think, our central challenge today. It's always hard to know when you're living through the moment, but to keep Halo Yadata Mahe Ma'ela, Zechariah was apparently supposed to know what the menorah meant. Well, hopefully we're a little bit closer to appreciating that now in terms of Torah and its ability to reflect the light of the Aron outwards and an integrated perspective of Torah, not just holding on to this part or to that part, but the entirety, the macro perspective, Darchei HaTorah, Rachamim V'chesed V'shalom Ba'olam, and to be able to understand that the needs of Torah sometimes are best served not by trying to impose them, force them on others. The needs of Torah are best served by trying to bring people around to the true light, warmth, and illumination of Torah. And that, and in my view, that alone can secure the future of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. All military ventures are best as stopgap. They give us the time and space to see if we'll be able to turn Shivat Zion into, you know, the path towards the eventual and ultimate Geula. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.